This is The Job. Today's guest is Trish Grantham, artist. First, let's talk to Candace. Hi, Candace.
Hi, Ray.
How's your week going?
You know, it's just swell. It's good. It's going along.
We track our... Sorry.
I was actually just going to say I got my hair cut today. Yesterday, it was very exciting because... She taught me how to feather my hair, which might not seem important, except that you and I are attending two events that clients are putting on in September that are 70s themed. So I'd just like to tell you, get prepared. I don't know what you can do, but I was thinking, like, in the 70s, isn't that when guys were, like, getting the stashes?
Yeah.
You have, like, 3 weeks.
So I should stop shaving. Okay.
We'll see how it goes.
I think I could have a mustache in 3 weeks if I stop shaving.
It's the end of September, so actually you'll have a little bit more than 3 weeks. You'll have more than 3 weeks.
Harry's is going to be so disappointed.
Well, you can still shave your, beard. I think the 70s were all about just the mustache, right? That's what my dad's did, like... Yeah.
On our Trello board, you had put a future guest. We keep a card on Trello for every guest.
Yeah,
that's coming on. I keep notes and photos and materials there. And one of our hopefully soon guests is Larry Olmsted from Intermodal.
Yes.
And I glanced at the card and immediately complained to you that you had spelled his last name with a zero instead of an O. Would you care to address that?
Okay. So when Larry sends us any sort of correspondence written, he has just the neatest handwriting. It's just so well thought out and so neat. And when I was typing his name, I felt like the zero was closer to his handwriting than the O. So, are we okay with that?
No, we're fine with that.
It was purposeful, yes.
I mean, yeah, the O in Helvetica is a giant round O. It's true.
Yeah. I had this like WWLD moment. What would Larry do? And I thought Larry would probably use that. Right.
Okay. Fair enough. So this WooCommerce talk, are you excited? Do you hope you'll make it there?
Oh my God, are we going to talk about this?
You think they'll... This won't go out until after your dreaded conference call, so...
Yeah, so I submitted a talk to Woo Conference. Mm-hmm. That's their first conference. Because
we use their products.
Right, and their conference is in San Francisco, which is just an amazing place to
go. It's all right.
We love it. And... It sounds like the talk that I submitted was submitted by somebody who is probably more qualified to speak on the subject, which is fine. It was like, I wanted to talk about subscriptions, and can I say that the like maker of the plugin also was going to talk about the same thing? Fine. So we've been brainstorming some other ideas, and I just like am super, super excited about a talk that I'd like to give, so maybe I'll just pitch it to them this afternoon. We'll see what happens. I dreamed about it last night. I dreamed the whole talk.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know what it is, Ray? And we've talked about this a bit. It's like I have a background in studying anthropology, not as a paid anthropologist, but. There's so many of those skills that I think I bring to this job, and I've been thinking more and more about what that means and how some of that perspective can be really helpful in getting to know a client and their needs in an industry, because we jump from industry to industry. You know, it's like when we're helping somebody with a website, we are getting to know almost everything about them and what they do as quickly as possible, but also as detailed as possible so we can make something for them that's unique and that stands out and that feels like the right thing for them. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I don't want to give it all away.
No. I think I'm excited that you proposed that talk, because I think, or that you're going to, I guess. You did in your dreams. Well, let's talk to Trish. We've known Trish for like 12 years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
In a roundabout way, Trish introduced us.
Like, as in she did, yeah.
It was at her art show at New Space.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's talk to Trish.
Okay.
Hi, Trish.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good. Why don't you tell me where you're from?
I was born in Phoenix, Arizona, and moved to Tucson when I was in third grade. Okay. And then I moved to El Paso, Texas in sixth grade and grew up there. I always consider El Paso, Texas my hometown.
Let me turn my phone off. Okay. How long have you been in Portland, and what possessed you to move to this climate after living there?
Well, I've moved a few other places. I lived in Austin, Texas, and then I lived in North Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and then I went back to Austin, and then I moved here 15 years ago.
Okay.
I had my first broken heart and wanted to get the hell out of Texas.
Okay.
And so wow. A friend of mine said she was moving to Portland, and I said I was going to come with her, and she said I'm leaving in a week, and I sold everything I owned and came out here.
Okay.
And I'd never been to the Pacific Northwest before.
So you're known as an artist. Mm-hmm. Were you doing that before?
No.
Living here? So that was sort of a thing that came about in Portland?
Mm-hmm.
How'd that happen?
I'd lived here for just a week, and I passed a art store downtown and decided I'd buy some art supplies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Which one?
What's it called? It was the one downtown. It was the one downtown that's not there anymore. It got bought out. Art Media. Okay. Art Media.
Oh, yeah. I remember Art Media.
I was like, huh, I'm going to buy some... the boyfriend that had broken my heart was a painter, so...
Oh.
I was like, I'll show him.
Yeah.
And I did.
Are you still in touch with this person?
No. Okay. I mean, not like we hate each other or anything. Yeah. It's just things lost touch.
Facebook friends? Not even that?
I don't think so.
No.
But I have a little beginning of that story I'd like to...
Oh, please.
Because it involves you. But I actually did another interview this morning for a magazine called Cottages and Bungalows this morning.
Sure, I know that lovely magazine.
And they were asking me the same story, how I got started. And I said that everything was timing and that I had lived next door to you.
Uh-huh.
And you had decided you were going to help me make my website. I was like, a what?
Uh-huh. A what site?
But I think that it all just like everything lined up. Like I started art. I met you and I'd only been painting for less than a year. So.
Wow.
So I like was an artist. It looked like really legit.
Yeah.
Because I had a website and nobody had a website.
In the early days.
Yeah, like I think that was
like 2001. Was that the website with the little tear?
Maybe, I don't know.
I think it was. Yeah.
I wish I had it, but yeah, it was like,
I would love to. I wonder if I could pull that up somewhere.
I think, our friend Mike mm-hmm. had shown me some website where you could look at your past websites.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was like black background and it just had like flash.
I think a lot of times those little website things don't let you see the actual cool parts that were on there.
Oh, yeah. But it's kind of cool it's out there. But anyways, yeah. I just told a magazine this morning that you made my website. And that's kind of how... Because she was asking in reference to her sister, who's an artist, and how she could make it. And I said it was all timing.
Yeah, I don't know that it's that unusual for an artist to have a website now, but it was back then.
No, yeah, it kind of was the catalyst for it all, I think.
Huh. So that was how many years ago? Like
2001, I think.
Okay.
Because you had just moved it next door to me.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
And I hadn't met Mike yet, so it was 2001.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So how? And this has been such a long time. This is a silly question, perhaps, but How has your art changed in that period of time, you know?
Well, I mean, seeing how I hadn't gone to school and never taken art class since mm-hmm. junior high. In fact, I was just looking at old work around your place here, and I just didn't know how to use a brush.
Right.
I didn't know how to mix paint colors yet. Like, I remember in the very beginning, I had no idea you could put colors together and make a new color. Like,
oh, okay.
It was all brand. I mean, I had no, I just didn't have the concept. Like, if you added white to red, it would make pink. I didn't know.
I mean, you know, I will say, I think, since we moved into the house that we are doing this interview in, I've seen a lot of that stuff too. And I couldn't help but think, like, I've seen a lot of your recent work, and it has a lot more, now, I wasn't asked, but I'm going to share.
Go ahead.
It has a lot more subtlety and a lot more nuance and definitely a lot more texture and depth. Mm-hmm. A lot of those early pieces seem to me like there's like a solid color and a sort of a
more
drawing.
Coloring of a, book. Yeah. More like a coloring book. Yeah.
Have there been points at which you've kind of had, have there been turning points in your artwork or epiphanies where you discovered... Like, when did you discover you could make pink or that you could layer things or that you could incorporate?
I think it's just meeting. I started meeting artists and they would just give me little, you know. But, like, there's been certain moments that are pivotal that, like, I went to a, like, just recently, maybe, I think it's about 4 years ago, I went to my first art class, and it was with Lisa Congdon. She had this artist camp in Southern Oregon. Mm. And I went for, I think it was like 4 nights or something. Mm-hmm. We just kind of gathered stuff and, you know, painted in nature. And she taught me shading. Like, just like that wasn't even that long ago.
Huh.
So my work, like, you know, jumped a huge step after that. It's like all I needed was an art class.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. Like, a lot of times those... There's a lot that comes of good that comes from classes, but like one little tip like that, and I know the same
and
is true in web
pretty
design. Where it's
like high school,
yeah,
like 101,
but at the same time, it's like you may have learned that in high school, but you weren't, your mind wasn't ready, like you hadn't.
Well,
had
I didn't
the
take art in high school, so I didn't. Well. Yeah, that's what I mean. I skipped that class, though. So.
Yeah. Well, I definitely took art in high school, but I don't think I've applied any of that.
Yeah.
Honestly, I blacked out. You know, there's this like psychological phenomenon where like something really traumatic happens, you kind of block it out of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, art class was one of those traumatic events because they always played the radio in there,
mm-hmm.
Ostensibly to make you feel more creative. But popular radio in the late 80s was like, you know, all I can remember is like endless Phil Collins and Billy Joel. And like, I can't be creative with like Billy Joel playing. Like, that is the worst.
It's like you needed Echo and the Bunnymen or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I was not listening to that music at home when I was doing my creative things. Anyway, so you're also, on a personal level, kind of like an avid collector.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you tell me a little about that, how that maybe has informed your art? Or not?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like my house and my paintings match. There's a lot of nature and animals and... the colors are the same.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just like a three-dimensional reflection of what I paint in a way.
Mm-hmm. Have you always like kind of decorated like that where you've lived?
I would say over the last decade, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I kind of have the same stuff. I just have more of it.
Yeah.
It's just an added it just like grows. The same things just get, you know, there's more of them.
Huh. Do you feel like, do you get inspiration from that? Like when you're doing your art, do you surround yourself with those sorts of things?
I think I probably take it for granted at this point. You know,
yeah.
It's
just background.
It's just my environment.
How do you get inspiration for your art? Is it like through music or like just going out?
It's from old things, you know? No, I don't go out.
Yeah.
I don't leave my house. No, I mean, I think that most of my art in the recent years is all... based on like symbolism. I love anything symbolic. Like sometimes I'll just start looking at like religious Buddhist paintings or any sort of, I love religious icons and I love Mason icons and heraldry. I love heraldry.
Hmm.
You know, like crest and like British things. Mm-hmm. And like, I like using my characters and kind of forming them into these like shields and, you know.
Interesting. So, like, when you say like Masonic imagery, you mean like the like the
Masons, yeah.
Yeah, like the pyramid, the six.
Yeah, I love that.
The
stuff.
Star of David. Okay.
Yeah, I love that stuff.
Okay, interesting. Do you like?
It's pretty subtle, though. It's subtle in my work. It's not like
right.
I'm a Mason now. Yeah.
Right.
I just feel like there's all these symbolic things that all different kinds of people use, and I find it interesting.
Mm-hmm. Do you do a lot of like thrift shopping, kind of like?
Well, I do for other people now because I do interior design, and my style is kind of a mix of vintage and new. Okay. So I mainly shop for others. I don't really shop, but I have so much stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure. Do you take a lot of photos when you're out doing that? Like,
not really.
Just to send people?
Yeah, maybe I take a snapshot of a chair or something and send it to a client.
So when you're putting together a show, mm-hmm. do you do that often?
I have one show a year now.
Okay.
I mean, well, I'm represented by a gallery here, so I have one solo show there a month, and then, I mean, a year, and then almost every month they hang a piece.
Okay.
But that's pretty much all I show now.
Okay. Is it like a, are you planning that, like, ahead of time, like a big event, or is it kind of like you're just kind of...
No, I start in, like, the show is every December, so I usually start around August.
Okay.
I don't think about it prior, though. I kind of don't. I do a lot of commissions. It's not like I'm not painting, so.
No, you've also most recently done the interior, all of the walls of Boxer Ramen.
Right.
Tell me how that came about and how long that took to paint that whole place.
It came about because the owner of Boxer Ramen had a friend that knew me, and he wanted this, an artist named Yoshito Manara. He really wanted him to do it, but, you know, his paintings are $40,000 a piece, so he's a little rough to get. But so she mentioned that I had a similar style, so
mm-hmm.
that's kind of how that happened. It took me about 3 or 4 months.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, not, like, constant. I had other things going on, but I just mean over the course.
Did you, so walk me through the process. Like, did you kind of sketch out what you were going to put up?
Or
did you have to get, like, your ideas, do you have to run your ideas by the owner and stuff
first? Yeah, I mean, I did sketch some stuff out, and then he was like, oh, it'd be great to put, like, a big bowl of soup under these girls' noses. So, I mean, it just us chit-chatting, it evolved, and then I drew them out and put them on an overhead projector.
Oh, okay. Have you done any other pieces like that lately? I remember at one point you did a billboard.
Mm-hmm. I did in New York.
Okay.
I did.
Is that like a... Did you project that too?
No. I had an assistant, Michael Paulus. He's come up a few times. I took on this job not knowing how I would paint a three-story... A three-story billboard, because I didn't know how. But it was for Visa, and I assured them that I did know how and that I'd done it many times because I really wanted the job. And so, he came up with this whole thing, you know, because he did go to art school. So, yeah, I don't even know how to explain it. I drew out the pictures, and then we blew them up huge at, like, a Kinko's, and then he ran a wheel that punctured holes in all the line work.
Oh, okay.
And then we put carbon through it up on this huge. So there was just, like, this faint little smoke line of...
Okay.
So I could kind of see, but I couldn't really see because I was only, like, an inch or two away from the wall. And, yeah, it was a big project, but it came out, and that's all I could...
Yeah. So your typical art that you do, is it, what sort of media are you working with now?
Acrylic and watercolor.
Okay. And is it on, like wood usually?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wood with paper glued to the top of it.
Okay. How long does, a lot of your pieces are, I don't know, what, is there a certain size for
these? They're all bigger these days.
Okay.
Like 3 by 4 feet or so.
Okay.
Or bigger.
I mean,
for the gallery, I only paint really big.
Okay. This is sort of a general question, but like, how long does something like that take? I mean, do you have any idea how many hours you put into one piece?
I don't. I don't know. I mean, I work, you know, for 4 or 5 hours, take a break.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe 16 hours, 25 hours, somewhere, you know, a mm-hmm. bigger piece. Depending on what it is.
Do you keep, like, good copies of the, like, photos of them?
not, I'm not as good as I should be.
No. Yeah, I was curious.
Now I get all the stuff shot at the gallery, but commissions I'm horrible with.
Oh, okay, okay.
There's a lot of commissions I have no pictures of.
I just wonder about, like, how do people take a good photo of art? It's just, I've never been able to do it. There must be some trick.
I don't do it.
Must have a, like a special broom.
Michael Paulus does it for me.
Yeah. I've been trying to get him to be on the show, but he won't, of course.
Yeah, he told me he wouldn't.
Yeah, of course.
He says he doesn't do art. He's against art. I asked him to go to a show with me next Saturday. He said, I don't go to art shows.
He doesn't do art?
No, he doesn't do art. He's thrown it out. He's against it.
Okay.
Art didn't love him back, so he's done.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, interesting. So if someone is interested in your stuff, where would they find it online?
I don't really have anything for sale online anymore. You kind of just have to email me.
Okay.
Trish@trishgrantham.com.
Trish@trishgrantham. Or they could visit trishgrantham.com.
I mainly just do commissions these days.
Okay. Do you have any...
I do have stuff for sale at the gallery.
Sure.
At the Augen, Augen.
Okay.
Augen Gallery.
Where is that, in downtown?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's not the one that's in the...
It's next to the Contemporary Craft Museum.
Okay. Got it. Oh, that's kind of near us, I think. We're in, like, Old Town. Is that kind of near Old Town?
Yes, Broadway and Davis.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you know about our little thing coming up tomorrow?
No.
Oh, okay. We're serving espresso before First Thursday.
Where?
At
your
office.
Place.
Yeah, at the White Stag Building.
Oh, you're having a First Thursday there?
It's like from 5 to 6:30. It's like a pregame.
I didn't even know tomorrow was First Thursday.
Oh. So are there any projects you're working on that you can tell our listeners about?
Well, I have a few things going on, but nothing is, my house is coming out in Cottages and Bungalows in June.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I think like a little 5-page spread cover, all that. It'll be fun. And then, I don't know, I have some works, things going on under the table, like a big project that's manifesting, but I can't talk about it.
Sure. Okay. I understand. You sign a non-disclosure and whatnot.
But I'm excited about it.
Tell me this. So you have been a professional artist mm-hmm. for 13 years now.
Ish.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, part of that was learning. Something I mean, like I was that. Still waiting tables. I quit waiting tables a decade ago.
Okay. Okay, we'll say 10 years.
I'll say 10.
Where do you see yourself in 10 more years?
I want to just be like, Pacific Northwest artist that does stuff. I don't know. I don't see a lot changing except for maybe I see myself maybe becoming more iconic, I hope. Mm-hmm. I just got put in the 100 Artists of the Pacific Northwest coffee table book, so that's exciting.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So when is that out now?
It came out like 2 days ago.
How exciting.
So that's kind of cool. I felt like, wow, I'm really a Pacific Northwesterner now.
No, that's great. Yeah. Where do you get that? Like Powell's? I'm just going to get that right now?
Yeah, or Amazon or whatever.
Oh, cool. Huh.
So that's cool. Yeah, no, I just want to, grow old and paint and evolve.
Have you ever considered doing, like a book of your own or like a...
Yeah, that's in the works with the gallery. I think we might be coming out with the coffee table book
of
my work, which having trouble with all the photographs that you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of them are good, some of them aren't.
Yeah, if you ever want to shoot any of the old ones here, let me know. If you need like a retrospective.
Yeah, that's true.
That's not my phone.
It could be mine. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Oh, no, that's okay.
Uh-oh.
You're in the book now. The phone's going to be ringing off the hook.
Yeah, right.
Well, Trish Grantham, thanks so much for talking to me today.
Of course. Thank you.
So go back to the Trish introducing us thing.
Oh, sure.
I remember, I knew Trish, so did you, before we knew each other.
Yeah.
And I recall her pitching you to me.
Yeah.
You should meet this guy. You guys would really get along.
Right.
And I...
And what was the how did she sell me?
She mentioned that you liked to drink wine on your front porch.
Right.
Which is, you can see why I didn't jump at the opportunity to meet this fella.
Sounds like a real go-getter. His most notable accomplishment is getting drunk.
But she brought it up quite a bit, and she would say, no, you guys would really get along. And I sort of just kind of, nah.
Well, and you then, did have a boyfriend at the time, did you not?
That could have been part of
No, you did.
Let's not get into details here.
Okay.
Regardless, when we did meet at her art show, and I later told her I met this guy who was fantastic, I think I'd like to figure out who he was. Mm. He was like, "This is the guy I've been telling you about for." Mm. Oh, yes, she's right.
He is drunk. Just like you described him.
No, but the night we officially met, you had just gotten a new iPhone?
iPod. No, this is well before
iPhones. That's right. It was before the iPhone. And
I remember that iPod well. I'm still... Yeah. I wish I still had that iPod.
So we talked briefly, and then you had to go because you wanted to ride your bike around and listen to music on your new iPod. Yeah.
Oh, man, I was so excited about that iPod.
Yeah.
It's like 2,000 songs in your pocket.
Yeah, you were very excited about the iPod. You were like showing it to me. This is the greatest thing.
that is actually me in a nutshell.
Yeah, I just sort of dismissed the fact that you were leaving our fantastic conversation for...
Yeah.
And here we are. Okay.
So we're getting close to wrapping up season two. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
We only got a few more interviews to share with the world.
Wow.
Jamie.
Mm-hmm. Jamie Curl. Of Quinn Candy.
Yeah. A couple other surprises. Mm-hmm. So I think we'll probably start in a different direction next year for season three.
Wow, that's news.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
Got some ideas, yeah.
Okay.
All right. See ya.
Unicorns.
Rainbows.